All right. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time or for those of you who are listening online, my name is Chris High and I'm the teaching pastor here. We're excited to have you here with us. Today we're wrapping up this conversation called Life Apps. And for the last few weeks we've been looking at this idea of applying what God has given us, applying what we find inside of God's Word, moving from being hearers of the Word to doers of the Word, and looking at how in our lives we can move from just simply taking in information to actually taking that information and making something of it in our lives, applying that in some way, shape, or form in our lives. And today we're bringing that conversation to a close with one final conversation about application, one final area of our life in which we see God leading us one direction, and yet maybe for a lot of us, we struggle with actually doing that. And I'm excited to be here with you. I'm excited because of what we're going to be talking about today. I'm excited because this specific conversation is something that God's been working on me about throughout the entire year. As a matter of fact, it's something that He brought to me when we began to lay out our conversations for the year last November. And He began to really work on me about this and work on me about what this is going to look like for us as a church. And so I'm really, really excited to be able to begin this conversation. We're going to spend more time on this as we go throughout the year, but we're going to begin it today. And today's life app, or the application that we're going to be talking about, has to do with this idea of encouragement. And I understand, even from the moment that I say that, for many of you, I'm already beginning to lose your attention. Because for a lot of us, I think if we were honest about this idea of encouragement, it's kind of a nice thing in our life, but it's not actually a necessary thing in our life. And so when you hear me say we're going to talk about encouragement, you think, well, you know, that's nice. I mean, we probably should encourage, and encouragement's kind of important. It's a nice thing to have in our life. But I mean, isn't there maybe other important, more important things that we should talk about? I mean, aren't there other things that are a little bit more necessary for us in my journey and where God's taken me? And I would argue with you that that's actually a big part of the problem. I mean, for a lot of us, this idea, it's almost like when you're pursuing that girl, and so you want to find out like what she thinks about you, and so you do the adult thing, and you send your friends to find out. Never changes, right? And so you're waiting, and you're saying, okay, man, what does she think? And you know, is she going to like me? Is she not going to like me? What is she going to say? And your friends are never really as discreet as you hoped they'd be, but they do okay. And they come back to you, and you're waiting. Okay, what did she say? What does she think? And your friend turns to you and says, well, you know, she said that she thinks you're a really nice guy. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, no. Why? Because a nice guy is not a guy you have to have in your life. Right? They're just a nice guy. And I think for a lot of us, when we look at this idea of encouragement, it's exactly the same thing. It's a nice thing, but not actually a necessity. There are a couple problems with that. One of the problems is actually found in our passage that we're going to talk about today. And our main passage today is a very simple, simple passage. It's just a straightforward action passage. It's found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's at the end of chapter 5. And in chapter 5, Paul, as he's writing to this church, is talking to them about the mission that they've been given. He's talking to them about where they're headed, what they've been called to be and to do, and he's talking to them about the purpose for which they've been created. And he gets to the end of this. We're not going to walk through the whole chapter, but he gets to the end of this, and at the end of this, he gives them this one action point. He says, so in light of this, in light of where you're going, in light of what's ahead of you, in light of this purpose, in light of this mission, I have one action point for you. We find it in chapter 5, verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And the truth is that today, as I prepared for this and as we got ready for this, there are probably countless passages that we could have walked through. Because this isn't the only time that we find this. As a matter of fact, as you read through the New Testament over and over and over again, you hear the writers and you hear God using these writers to step into your life and into my life and to say, listen, you need to, you must encourage one another. As a matter of fact, when we talk about this later on this fall, we're going to talk about the fact that this is one of the number one things that you are actually commanded to do and to be in the lives of the people around you, is to encourage those people, to encourage one another. And so the first problem that I have with the way that we look at this idea of encouragement is that while we might think it's just a nice thing, for God it's not just a nice thing. And if you're here today and you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, it's actually something that you are commanded to do and to be on a consistent basis. And for God, as he's laying this out for us in 1 Thessalonians, he's saying to them, listen, with where you're going, if you're going to get there, you must encourage one another. You have to build into one another's lives. This isn't just a nice thing. It has to be a part of what you do. So the first problem is in this way that we look at this idea of encouragement. The second problem is that I think for a lot of us, when we think about this, even when we look at God saying, listen, this is what you need to do, right? And this is our application passage where God says, you need to do this. When we look at that, for a lot of us, we think, okay, well, I'll just, that we think in our minds that we're going to naturally drift towards that. And so when we look at the relationships with the people around us, we think, well, that's just kind of, I'm a nice person. And so we think that we're going to naturally drift towards this idea of encouraging the people around us. There's a problem with that. There's actually some research that was done recently by an organization called the Gottman Institute. And the Gottman Institute set about to look at this idea of encouragement and criticism. And they began to study relationships and study conversations to figure out, okay, what does the balance look like in our lives of encouragement and criticism? And what they found was absolutely shocking. And this wasn't just in workplaces, this was in friendships, in families, all these different relationships that we have in our lives. They stepped in, they began to study, and what they found was that in most of the conversations that you're having with the people around you, for every one comment of encouragement, there are 6 comments of criticism. And so as you're having conversations with the people around you, for every one comment of encouragement that you share, on average, if you are the average American person, there are 6 comments of criticism or critique. Now that is shocking. And in a lot of ways, that is awful. It explains a lot, doesn't it? And if we were to be honest, it explains a lot. Some of you are sitting here thinking 1 to 6. That seems a little low. If you take my friends, it's like 1 to 20, 1 to 40. If you go to my workplace, it's like 1 to 200. If you talk to my boss, I don't know if I've ever heard a word of encouragement from my boss. One to six. You see, the truth is that when you look at the numbers and when you begin to actually study the conversations that we have with the people around us, we find that we don't actually drift towards encouragement. We drift away from encouragement. And that our natural tendency is not to live out and to be doers of this passage to encourage. Our natural tendency is to criticize or to critique. And so what I want to do today is I want to begin to walk through this with you, and I want to not just, let's not just talk about this. Let's not just look at this and say, man, you know, that's kind of bad, 1 to 6, that's tough. But what I want to do with you with you today is I want to begin to walk you through your life and to bring you into this conversation in such a way that you begin to inspect the relationships that you currently have in your life, and you begin to look at, okay, where am I? And then we look at this passage of where God wants us to be, and so how do I get from where I am to where I want to be? And so inside your program, there's a little note card there, and you can jot down notes on that. We give that to you every week so that you can write things down on there. I encourage you to get that out. And on that note card, I want you to do something. I want you to draw out three different circles, right? So go ahead and grab that out. Draw out three different circles. Now, I realize not all of you are going to do this. Some of you are cooler than me. That's fine, right? That's fine. You know, you can sit back and, I'm not doing that, man. I don't draw in church, right? That's cool, right? You just won't learn anything. But go ahead and take that out. And on that card, go ahead and draw in three circles, right? Now, inside those circles, I want you to write three different things. The first one is family. Inside the second circle, I want you to write leadership. And inside the third circle, I want you to write life. And the first thing that I want to walk you through as you look at this research and this idea of 1 to 6 is I want you to begin to look at three different groups of people in your life. The first one is your family, and maybe this is your spouse and your children. For those of you who are in those situations, for others of you, you may include your extended family if you're close to them. For others of you, you may include some of your closest friends, but these are the people who are the closest to you. And I want you to begin to look at the relationships that you have with the people who are closest to you. And if they were to begin to study your conversations, what would the ratio be? Husbands, as you look at the conversations that you're having with your spouse, what would the ratio be? 1 to 6? 1 to 3? 1 to 20? Just think about the conversations of the last 2 or 3 days. How many times have you encouraged that person? How many times have you criticized or critiqued that person? And I want to kind of change a little bit of the wording here, because I think it's important, because sometimes I think we give ourselves credit for things that we shouldn't give ourselves credit for. And so I'm not talking about just not saying mean things. Encouraging is not when you refrain from saying something mean. Because I think sometimes we think that. So you're like, man, that guy wore that shirt, that was just ridiculous, but I didn't say anything. I was encouraging. No, you weren't encouraging. You just didn't say anything. So that doesn't count, okay? I'm talking about actual encouragement, when you actually encourage them built into them. And then I want to change the way you look at this idea of criticism or critique, because I think sometimes we try to kind of get away from that or get around that. And so I want you to include challenging, right? I don't really criticize, I just challenge. No, you're criticizing. And so I want you to include the times when you challenged your husband to be better, when you challenged your friends to be better. What does the ratio look like? You know, for me, just kind of as an aside here, this has been a huge conversation with me and God from the beginning of the year. As a matter of fact, when he began to work on me about this, it wasn't about interpersonal conversations. It was about our conversations here. Because you come in here on Sundays and I come in here on Sundays, and kind of because of our cultural setup, the expectation is that as you come in here, you'll be challenged with something. And so part of my role is to be able to figure out, okay, where do we need to go and how do we get there and how do I challenge you to get there? Even inside of this conversation of encouragement, I'm looking at where we are and where we need to be and how do I challenge you to get there? The problem with that is that as I read through the New Testament, as I look at passages like this passage in 1 Thessalonians, and there's countless others exactly like it, where over and over and over again, God is saying, you need to encourage, you need to encourage, as long as you have time, you need to encourage one another, you need to build into one another, and I look at what we do here, and I'm like, wait a second, maybe the ratio is off. One of the things I'm really excited about is that as we wrap up this year, we're actually going to spend time in a series where all we're going to do is encourage.
And it's not going to be challenging to encourage, it's going to be encouraging. Why? Because God has told me that my role in your life is to not just challenge you, but to encourage you. And to build into you. As you look at the people who are closest to you, if you were to be honest about the relationships that you have, what's the ratio? And then move from there and look at this circle of leadership. Because a lot of you are in positions of leadership. It may be that you only oversee a small group of people, but there are people that directly report to you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's a ministry here at Hoboken Grace. Maybe it's as part of your job. Here's my question to you. What's the ratio? If you were to look at what's happening at your workplace and the people that report to you, what's the ratio? For every word of encouragement, how many words are there of challenging, criticism, or critique? What do you think would happen if you became a doer of God's word in this way as a leader inside your workplace? What do you think would happen to the work environment? And the funny thing is, we all hope that our boss hears this and puts this into practice, right? You're like, man, I never thought I should invite my boss to church, but I really wish he'd come today. And we all understand and we wish that they would begin to practice this, but let me ask you something. What would it look like if you began to practice this? What is the ratio? Unfortunately, that's one of the places where usually the ratio is at its worst. And then the last place that I want you to look at is just life, and these are the people that you come in contact with on an everyday basis. The person at Starbucks, the neighbor that you walk past, these people that you bump into on the street on a consistent basis. What does the ratio look like there? If the world were to begin to define you and to begin to describe you, would this word encouraging be a word that they use? Or would you just be known as someone who's, and this is kind of how we look at it in a good way, right? That you're just known as someone who's always challenging. What does it look like? And then once you begin to look at those ratios, I want you to begin to write down, and you can flip that notes page over if you've run out of room there, or at the bottom of that page. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to write down the names of the people that you need to change that balance with. Husbands, for a lot of you, you need to change the ratio when it comes to your wife. I remember when Anna and I first got married, it was great. Anna, you know, hadn't really cooked a lot before we got married, and so she was trying to learn how to cook, and she was trying all these different things, and she was experimenting with different meals, and it was a lot of fun. I loved it. I got to try all these different things, a lot of things that I'd never eaten before, and so I decided that I was going to help her out. Right? And she's trying to learn, and she's trying new things. She's trying to figure out what's good and what isn't. She's experimenting. And so I decided I'd help her out, and I would let her know how it's going. That was a bad idea. And so we would sit down, and we would, you know, she'd be like, yeah, this is what I tried tonight, and we'd begin eating, and I'd be like, well, you know, I think it could use a little bit more of this or a little bit more here, and we could experiment with this, and I thought I was being helpful. So we were like, wow, he's not nearly as smart as I thought. And I remember one night she was sitting there and she was just really upset. And so I asked her, you know, what's going on? What's bothering you? And she said, you know, I'm trying all this stuff, but I don't even enjoy cooking anymore. Because every single time I try something, you have something to say about it. And it wasn't encouraging. I thought it was critiquing and helpful criticism. No. That she was calling me back to this. And I think for a lot of us inside of our relationships, one of the ways in which relationships begin to go in the wrong direction really quickly is that this balance begins to weigh heavily in the favor of challenging and criticism as opposed to encouragement. And so for some of you, the first name on that list needs to be the person that you're in a relationship with. And you need to begin to figure out, how can I begin to balance this out? If nothing else, how can I begin to make sure that this is weighted to the side of encouragement? How can I begin to encourage my boyfriend? How can I begin to encourage my husband? How can I begin to encourage my wife? How can I begin to build into my girlfriend? Then you look at your friends. Who are the friends that, and my challenge to you in this as you begin to jot down these names is that is not just to look at the one who you know needs encouragement. Because oftentimes we will be good at this if there's someone in our life who we see as who's really down. Because we realize then that they need this. And so we'll figure out how to be able to step into this person's life and how to be able to encourage. And we'll figure out how to be able to, we may even talk to other friends about how we can encourage this person and build this person up, how we can help this person feel better, because we see it as a necessity there. But for people who seem healthy, we don't believe it's a necessity. And so my challenge to you is not just to think about the person who you know is down, but to think about the person who seems healthy. Because you guys know, if you do a great job at work, you're probably not going to hear anything about it. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation with someone after the first service. He said, that's exactly how it is at my work. You know when you're doing a good job because no one's going to tell you anything. You're not going to be encouraged. Who are the people in your life who have it together who I bet are never being encouraged? And that if you were to be honest, the balance is way off in your relationship with them. Who are the people in your family? Who are the people that are under your leadership? Who are the people in your life? And we move from just being an encouragement to the people who are closest to us, but being an encouragement into the lives of everyone that we come in contact with. Who are the people? I challenge you, begin to write down names. Begin to make your list. But even as I say that, I know and I understand that for some of you, you're sitting here and you're saying, you know what? For some of you, you're taking it, you're just going to run with this, man. I mean, you're going to write down those names, you're going to jot down those names, you're going to put it in practice, you're going to begin to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer of God's word. But for others of you, you're sitting here and you're hearing me say this and you're saying, why in the world would I encourage someone else? Nobody encourages me. Nobody builds into me. Why in the world would I go out of my way to encourage someone else when no one's encouraging me? And there are two things that I want to say to you today. One, the God that we talk about here at Hoboken Grace, the God who's here with us, is excited about you. And he loves you. And he wants to encourage you. And if you'll pick up this book, he has words of encouragement for you, one after another, because he believes in you. He's pursuing you. He wants to know you. And we talk about this all the time here at Hoboken Grace. And so the first thing I say to you is that God wants to encourage you and be encouraged. The second thing that I'd say to you is this, and it's actually a principle that we find in the book of Proverbs. It's found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And it's shared with us in verse 25. I'll read it to you now. Proverbs 11:35, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The second thing I want to say to you is this. As God is stepping into your life, he understands what it means to be a part of this circle where, okay, if you're not going to encourage me, I'm not going to encourage you. He understands that in your situation, the truth is you're probably not being refreshed. He understands that for most of us, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we're receiving a lot more criticism than we are encouragement. But as he steps into your life at this point, his challenge to you is this. If you will break out of that, if you will be the one who says, you know what, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to begin encouraging even though I'm not encouraged, his promise to you is that those who refresh will themselves be refreshed. And I know for a lot of you, you probably find yourselves in certain relationships. Maybe it's a relationship with your spouse. Maybe it's a relationship with a friend. Maybe it's a relationship with a family member where you know, man, they are not about encouraging me. And so there's no way I'm going to be about encouraging them. And this begins this kind of downward spiral inside of relationships. But what God says, if you will trust him and step out of that and begin to refresh this person, he's not promising you that they're going to encourage you back. Sometimes that's how it works. Sometimes you're the one who trusts him. You step out of this. You say, I'm going to put this into practice. You begin to encourage, and other people begin to encourage you back. He's not promising that. Sometimes that's how it works. But sometimes it's that we step out of it, and we begin to encourage. They don't encourage us back, but God encourages us. And he begins to build into you. But his promise to you is that no matter how it works, that he who refreshes will himself be refreshed. And so he's asking you to trust him enough to break the cycle. He's asking you to trust him enough to walk into that workplace where you are absolutely not being encouraged and to be an encouragement, trusting him that no matter what happens at the job, that you will be refreshed. Whether it be the workplace, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, he's asking you to trust him, to be a doer of what we find in 1 Thessalonians, and to encourage. Trusting him that as you do that, you will be encouraged. And as we've said week after week after week as we've walked through this, the question is, will you trust him? You know the people. Make the list. Begin to step into the lives of the people around you and become an encouragement. Change the balance. Not because you're expecting something from them, but because you're believing God that what he says in the book of Proverbs is true. And that when you refresh, you will be refreshed. And may we become a group of people who are known not just by our love, but specifically by the way we love through encouragement. May it be said of us that we are just unbelievably encouraging. Trust him. And may you begin to find this in your life as well. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, I'm aware of how difficult it is at times to break out of that cycle where we're just criticizing and critiquing one another. And sometimes we look at it positively as challenging, but you know that it's not what you've called us to do. You've very specifically told us that we're to be encouraging one another. And I pray for those who are here who who are going to take this and run with it. And I just pray that as they do this, that this wouldn't just be something that happens this week, but it would be something that they begin to build into who they are, and it begins to be something that's a part of them throughout the rest of their lives. I pray for those who are here today who are listening to what I'm saying, and they're saying, there's no way, I'm not going to do it. And maybe you've laid one specific person on their heart, and they're just saying, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to get it back. I pray that you continue to open their eyes, that their faith would begin to grow, and that they would trust you. That what you say is true. And that they would begin to experience what it means to be refreshed as they refresh others. In Jesus' name, amen.